Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you the praise and the glory. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, because you hear us always. And once again, we are in the house of the Lord with the word of the Lord, the message of the Lord. And we ask, O Lord, that you will speak to our hearts, bring a blessing to everyone, and that your name will be glorified. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. And everybody says,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I just have a short message this morning. You know, we preached on faith. Let's keep the children quiet, please. We preach on faith and, you know, lifting up messages and all of these things all the time. You know, we know that God is good. Amen? The Lord is good. You know, and if you've been here for any length of time, you've heard a lot of messages on faith. I mean, by now you know how to walk your faith and you know how to get things from God and so forth like that. So I want you this morning to listen to this message because it's going to be very helpful to you. And the title of my message this morning is Faith and Patience. Now that's faith and patience. Now, and I preached on faith, and I believe, you know, I am a person, if you know anything about me at all, I believe in the now. You know, I don't know about, you know, long time from now and so forth. You know, because the Bible says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Amen? So it is at the time that you pray that you believe. And then you leave the rest up to God. Because that's what the Bible says. You know, when you pray, you believe. So I believe that faith is always now. Faith is always in the now. We preached about that. You can find that message, Faith is Now, on the website. And many other wonderful messages on faith like that. But today it's going to be faith and patience. And I'm going to start here in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And I am going to read from verse 10. That's Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now take notice of that. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, for when God made promise to Abraham, and I love this scripture. You know, it's got to be one of my favorite in the Bible. You know, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply it. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Can you say amen? Patiently endured. Now, I want to let you know that, you know, Abraham was 75 years old, you know, when he went down to Egypt and all of these things and so forth, you know, and the first time that God promised him, you know, inheriting the land of Canaan and all that, he was only about 75 years old, you know, and God had made various appearances to Abraham. You know, at first his name was Abraham, and God even changed his name. And several appearances and several years later, you know, 2.5 decades later to be exact, you know, his child was born. And it took him many, many years. And I guarantee you there were times that Abraham himself, you know, might have felt discouraged, you know. But, you know, the word of God came to pass nonetheless. Amen. You know, and even though it took all that long time, but what was the reason? And I'm going to share something with you this morning. What is the reason why the Lord sometimes allows this? You know, he gives a promise, you know, but there is a a long delay sometimes, you know, it's not exactly a denial, it's just a delay. Amen. Sometimes there's a long delay, but it's not delay as far as God's concerned, because though it tarry, the Bible says wait for it, because it will not tarry, it will come at God's appointed time. It always, everything always happens at God's appointed time. Amen. The problem with us is we sometimes want to put God in a box. We want to put God, we want to make God line up with our timetable instead of us lining up with His plans. And that's why things look delayed to us. But if you have the confidence that God who has spoken will also watch over His word and He will bring it to pass at the appointed time, then all things will eventually work out, you know, for your good. Amen. Now, so we've seen the story of Abraham. In fact, when God appeared to him, you know, in Genesis chapter 15, He said, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward, the Lord told him. And he said, well, you know, you're my shield, you're my great reward, but I don't even have a child. And the Lord said, don't worry about it. You know, so God gave him this promise, and he had to believe that promise for years. And then in Genesis 17, God appeared to him again and said, look, Abraham, I want you to walk before me and be thou perfect, because I am the Lord God Almighty. You know, and the promise lingered, and it looked like it lingered and so forth for years. You know, and finally, you know, when his wife was 90 years old, and he himself was 100 years old, you know, and just shortly before that, you know, just about a year or so before that, the angel of the Lord, you know, appeared to them again, reminded them of these things and so forth, you know. And but finally, at the appointed time, the child of promise came forth. Amen. Now, it did not come forth according to how perhaps Abraham thought it would, or even Sarah. Because after Sarah waited, you know, because Abraham, of course, you know, he shared the promise with Sarah. And Sarah said, well, yeah, that's a wonderful promise. And now Sarah waited a few years, you know, nothing was happening. You know, she looked at the deadness of her own womb, you know, say, at this age, that's not going to happen. So she tried to organize God and plan something. I said, well, perhaps this is what God meant. You know, let's do it over here like this, or let's try it this way and so forth. Well, we have Sarah to thank for all the problems in the Middle East today. Amen? You stay with the Word of God. Don't try to help God or organize anything. You know, you just leave God alone with what He said. He'll take care of His own word. Amen. Doesn't matter how long it is. One day when I see Sarah, I'm going to say exactly the same thing I just said. Thank you for all the problems of the Middle East. Thank you for making it hard for people to even travel over there. You know, you should have stayed with the word of God. I'm going to tell her, you know, praise God. You know, so, you know, but, you know, it takes time. You know, of course, Abraham was even more to blame. I guarantee you that, you know, because, you know, he should have said, no, I'm staying right with the word of God. You know, men, you know, often blame things on their wives. You know, as if, you know, the women, you know, no. I tell you what, Adam should have rebuked Eve. Amen? That's right. He should have rebuked Eve instead of going along with that whole thing, you know. And he should have put his foot down and said, no, the Lord said not to do that, you know, and you are on your own from now on. You know, but of course he didn't do it. Well, there's more to that story than that. But anyway, you know, Abraham is just as much to blame, perhaps even more to blame, because he got the promise. He got the word. And he just paid with the word. Don't try to help God or anything. But of course, inside of Abraham's heart, he always knew that God, you know, promised something and he would do it. So, you know, he went along with it and so forth like that. But he knew that what God had promised, he was still going to do. Now, I want to give you just a few scriptures to show that no matter when, you know, when you're believing God, and you should also have patience. Amen. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 36. He says, look, ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, this tells us that, look, you know, sometimes the promise is delayed, but you need to have patience. Don't let your patience run out, and then you run out on the Lord. See, the reason, you know, people, you know, try various things and so forth, you know, they start out with, you know, the Spirit of God giving them a promise and so forth, and then they try to later accomplish it by the arm of flesh because, you know, their patience runs out. You know, when your patience runs out, then you run from pillar to post and so forth. Stay with the word of promise. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in the book of Psalms 40 and verse 1, and I love this man David, you know, he said, look, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, well, you know, you got to wait patiently for the Lord. You know, so I waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. You know, so patiently. Now, when God promises something, we don't know unless he puts a time to it. We don't know that it's going to happen today or tomorrow. Now, of course, there are times in the Bible that God said, tomorrow, go down there and do this and so forth. You know, so we know that. But if he doesn't say it's tomorrow or today or next week or the other, you know, month, you know, if God just promises something, well, then we just have to take his word as it is. You know, and sometimes when we try to put a timetable to what God has promised, you know, then we falter because, you know, the Lord may not, the Lord is not necessarily obligated, you know, to reveal everything to us in his plans. Amen. But when he called Abraham, he called him alone. He told him to go out to a place that he knew not. God didn't tell him all the plans. He just told him, you know, God wants to see whether you have faith and you believe and you trust him with your life. Will you trust the Lord with your life? Do you know that God knows what he is doing? Praise God. Now let's listen to this. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Here's what the psalmist said. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's what will happen when you wait patiently for the Lord. He will bring you out of any horrible pit that you may be in. He will bring you out of the miry clay. That's like quicksand. You know, when you sink in, the more you struggle in quicksand, the more you sink. You know, the Lord will bring you out of it. He will establish your goings, and he will put a new song in your mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the name of the Lord because you wait patiently for the Lord. You've got to wait patiently for the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, God sometimes allows trials of our faith. You know, and you can listen to the message on our website called Your Faith on Trial. You know, God always allows trials of our faith to bring out some things in us, especially patience. You say patience? Why, sure. Let's read it here in Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 to 5. God will use trials and things that we face in life, the challenges of life, to bring out this character and this quality of patience in our life. Listen to this, Romans 5 and 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation, that's trials, worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You know, this scripture clearly tells us that God will use tribulations, trials, and testings to bring out patience in our lives. You know, he wants to teach us that patience. James chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Knowing this also, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now that's two apostles now by the Holy Ghost saying exactly the same thing. You know, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, let patience, don't run off, you know, don't get weary and then run off, you know, and, you know, just try to do things on your own. You patiently wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean for you not to do anything. Now, you have to listen to all of the other messages that we've preached, you know, and, you know, you also have to balance the scriptures, you know, so that doesn't mean waiting for the salvation of the Lord doesn't mean for you not to do anything. You wait and see what the Lord says. And then when the Lord speaks, he might say, go forward. We preached on that also. And then you go forward, you know. But the whole time you are believing and trusting that he will keep his promise. Amen. Even though it is delayed, you know, God may promise you, you know, like Abraham, you know, and even he told him that, look, you know, you will have, you know, child, you know, and so forth like that. And it's not going to be through that one that you guys organized. You know, Sarah will have a child. You know, and it didn't look like that. You know, but God told him, look, I'm going to prove it to you. You know, I'm going to even ask you to I'm going to tell you to change your name. So God told him, change your name. Your name will no longer be Abraham, but it will be Abraham because of my promise to you that you will be the father of many nations. You know, so it took him many years to realize that promise, but when he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, I guarantee you, you know, the people around him made fun of him. Because they said, well, father of nations, you don't even have a child. You know, how are you going to be father of nations? You know, those of us who are here, we have our children around about us. We don't even call ourselves father of many nations, let alone you that don't even have a child. But Abraham would say, yes, but he told me so. Amen? Praise God. You know, so you just stay with that word. You know, so sometimes God will allow these things, you know, trials, you know, just to see, you know, if you are going to stay with the word. You know, are you going to stay with his promise? Now remember also, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years with him is as one day in the night. You know, so, you know, it's not really a very long time to the Lord, in any case, you know, whatever it is that we're going through. Now, the sufferings that we go through and the challenges and the testings that we go through as we're waiting for God's deliverance in any situation sometimes, you know, they are part of God's plans. Is it part of God's plans? Why, absolutely. Read 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen? But that's after you have suffered a while, not before. You know, after you have suffered a while. So sometimes the sufferings, the trials and the things that we go through, they are part of God's plans, you know, to bring out the best in us. Because, you know, the Lord allows us to be tried just like gold is tried, just like silver is refined, so that we may come forth, you know, and be stronger, you know, for the Lord. Now listen to this. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we are told that there is a time for everything. To every season to everything there is a season. And there is a time to every purpose under the heaven. Amen? There is a time to be born and a time to die. You know, well, you know, that's for those that will die. There's a time for that as well. I don't believe that everybody in this world will die. Amen? Hello, somebody. We have evidence of that in the scriptures. There are some people that went in the chariots of fire. And Enoch, he walked with God and he went to be with the Lord. And I believe that the Bible says that those of us that, you know, I remain, you know, remain steadfast on the coming of the Lord, you know, that we shall be caught up without seeing death. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. I believe that. Praise God. I believe that with all my heart. I don't care what anybody else does or says. Now, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, A time to break down and a time to build up. And a time to weep and a time to laugh. So there's a time for all of these things. There's also a time to sow and a time to reap. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. And all of these things he said. Now, so things have to be done at the right time. And God is the one that knows the time for all these things. You know, sometimes we think we know. And, you know, look, if you have great faith, you know, you can move God. You can move the hand of God. But there are some things that God, you know, in God's sovereign knowledge, and God's, you know, God is sovereign, and, you know, his providence is overall. You know, so there are some things that God is not going to allow your faith to change. You know, I don't care, you know, how great your faith is, you know, because God knows more than you do. Amen. Praise God. You know, well, I always encourage people to have faith. You know that. And I love faith, and I believe God for anything. But I've also learned patience. Amen. I've learned that especially that there are some things that are, you know, that are in line with God's eternal purpose, you know, and he knows what he's doing. You can't hurry God up, you know, in those things. You know, there are some things in the realm of man that God has allowed us, you know, liberty to do some things. You know, you just have to know. You know, God has given us liberty to do so many things. He allows us to use our faith to even change so many things. But there are some things that God will not change. You know, because they are in line with some purposes that are higher than what we know. Amen. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Even as the heaven is higher than the earth, he said. You know, so there are some times and so forth. And if you have great faith, Jesus always loved great faith. Now, he never liked, you know, the little faith and the people that didn't believe. Now, little wasn't because they didn't, you know, little was really because it was small. It was just because they were not using what they had. But Jesus already told them, if you even have little faith, you can do great things. You know, but they didn't use their faith, you know, that they already had. You know, so Jesus was always impressed with great faith. You know, one time he told a woman came and said, you know, she's called a Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman. She came and said, look, my daughter is grievously sick and so forth. He wanted Jesus to come and do something for her. And Jesus didn't answer her a word. You know, and she said, oh, thou son of David, and so forth. And then, well, that triggered something. You know, a son of David. My goodness. You don't have a right to call Jesus son of David if you are not, you know, the house of David. So Jesus says to her, well, you know, we can't take children's bread and feed it to dogs. Why do you think that Jesus said that? Of course, he was trying to bring out a viewpoint. He was trying to bring out a point. You know, remember, all the things that are written in the scriptures are for examples. Amen? Jesus already knew exactly. If you don't know that Jesus knew that exactly what that woman was going to say, then you don't know the Lord at all. The Lord already knew. He told Nathanael, I saw you under that fig tree before even Andrew or whoever spoke to you. He said, you saw me? Absolutely. You know, he knew exactly that the woman was going to say what she said. You know, but he played along and said, look, we cannot give children's bread to dogs. And the woman said, dogs? And he said, well, you know, that's true, Master, but even the dogs, they will eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus said, my lands, you know, this is a woman that will not be denied. And he said, my, I have not seen so great faith, you know, in Israel. And he was impressed. You know, Jesus was always impressed with great faith. Centurion came and said, Lord, you know, my servant is sick, you know, but you don't even need to come. Because, you know, I mean, just speak the word only. And it will be done. Because, look, I myself am a man of authority. You know, I command 100 soldiers, and I say to one of the soldiers, and the chain of command demands that they must obey whatever I say. You know, so I know also that you are a man of command in your spiritual realm. All you need to do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, my goodness. I have not seen so great faith in Israel. So the Lord is always impressed with great faith. And he was never impressed with, you know, the unbelieving, the fearful, and so forth. You know, he wants us to have faith. So we want you to have faith. We want you to believe God. And here's one thing that I've always said to the people, and I'll say it again. When I stand before the Lord, and this is for you too. When you stand before the Lord, you want to be sure that you can say, Lord, I believe every word. Amen? So if God promises something, if God says something, it is your responsibility to believe it. Now, the whole disposing thereof is unto the Lord. how God does it, and so forth, and when he does it, that's his department. My department is to believe what he said. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, I don't want to be in a situation where I stand before the Lord and say, well, you did not believe his part. You know, I will believe his word. You know, but we must also patiently wait and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, no matter what we are going through. Now, sometimes we are going through some challenges that make life a little difficult. Sometimes even more than a little difficult. And we are in a strait, you know, we just, you know, and so we are looking for, you know, we're just looking for immediate solution. Well, sometimes the salvation of the Lord may be immediate. Sometimes it may not be immediate, whatever the case may be, but you wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't run off to somebody, because vain is the help of man. You wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is going to pull you out of the miry clay. And the Lord is going to get you out of the horrible pit. You know, he has a way to do that. Praise God. Now, we have seen many examples in the Bible of, you know, when God promised things to people, and it takes many, many years. You know, Abraham was one of them. David was one of them. I mean, David was anointed when he was a little child for the king, for the kingdom. It but took him many, many years before he would even get there. And not a few challenges along the way. There was a lot of problems along the way. You know, so just because God promised you something doesn't mean that you're not going to have any challenges along the way. Amen? Especially if the devil has something to say about it. God may say, look, I'm going to take you to the promised land. Well, the devil is going to have something to say about that. I'm going to try to challenge the word of God. The Bible says the word of God is tried. You know, it will always be God who will allow that word to be tried. Even Joseph, you know, God promised him great things when he was a young man. You know, and look at all the things that he went through. I mean, he saw himself, you know, in a position of authority, lifted up, that all his brethren and so forth, you know, were bowing down to him. You know, and but it took many, many, many years. And it even looked like it would not come to pass. Because one time his siblings said, well, we'll see about those dreams now. Here comes that dreamer. Let's do this over here. Let's kill him over here. But finally they said, okay, well, let's not shed any blood today. So, they saw this caravan from Egypt coming, slave caravan. So they sold him into slavery and so forth. And all that whole time, now, there was one time he was in a dungeon, then they pulled him out and sold him. You know, and then he went through the caravan. The whole time that he was in the dungeon, and the time that they were in the caravan going to Egypt, the devil tormented his thoughts, I guarantee you. when he got to Egypt, you know, and all the things that happened to him, and then when he finally ended up in jail, you know, due to no fault of his, because, you know, he wouldn't go along with Potiphar's wives, you know, trying to seduce him and so forth. You know, he ended up in jail. You know, and so forth. And all the time that he was in jail, the devil would have told him, well, we'll see about your dreams now. You know, we'll see how you're going to be. You're going to rot away in the jail here. You know, but the word of the Lord that tried him also brought him out of the horrible pit. Hallelujah, somebody! But he had to wait patiently for that promise many, many years. Even some of his siblings, even his father that kept the promise in his heart, sometimes they had even forgotten. You know, they just like, well, you know, because so many years had elapsed. But I guarantee you, God's word will always sustain itself. Amen. Once the Lord speaks the word, that's it. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word cannot be broken. Once he speaks it, it's done. It's signed, it's sealed, it's delivered. You can wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And along the way, hey, things may happen like happened to Joseph, you know, but all of the things that were happening to Joseph, all along the way, all the hardships, all the difficulties, and everything that was happening that made it look like the promise of God would not come to pass, all those things were actually moving him closer to the promise. Amen. The whole time. Hallelujah. But he had to go to prison in order to be in a situation, you know, that he will be able to stand before the king. Because he was standing before Potiphar quite alright, but that was, Potiphar was like the chief of staff. You know, not exactly the president. You know, but he had to go to prison to meet somebody that he would do something for, who was working directly for the president, that would be able to speak to him for the president sometime. Amen? God engineered all those things. You know, and so finally, you know, of course, the word of God came to pass. Just like God said. And I want to tell you here this morning, everything that God has promised will come to pass. Now, the question is, well, if you don't believe it, you may not receive it, but it will come to pass anyhow. Just like the man of God said, look, by this time tomorrow, because there was famine in the land, you know, and so on, you know, because of their enemies that besieged them and cut off their supplies and all that. And he said, look, and the gravity of what he said was similar to this. And some of you know that gasoline is sold for about $3.25 or so now on the average here in Phoenix. So the gravity of what he said, $3.25 a gallon, is for him, you know, to say something like this, you know, assuming that right now gasoline is sold for $3.25 a gallon, you know, this man said something like this. He said, by this time tomorrow, gasoline will be sold in all the gas pumps in Phoenix for 5 cents a gallon. Amen. That's the gravity of what he said. Now, I'm not prophesying that. Don't nobody come and say, Pastor Yado said this. Now, I'm not saying that. Don't come and hold me tomorrow, you know. God didn't tell me to say that. If he told me to say that, I'll say it. But he didn't tell me to say that. But I'm just saying the example, that's the gravity of what he said, in case you can't comprehend what was going on. I mean, for that, that is how drastic of what he said. I mean, this the land was so in problems, and he said something that was so outlandish. I mean, it's just impossible, humanly speaking. Well, so somebody jumped up and said, well, look, even if God opened the windows of heaven, will this thing be? You know, and ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, I want to admonish you today. That is one thing that you don't ever want to say. And you don't ever want to even think it. When God says something, you better believe the Lord. You know, or you keep your mouth shut and pray that God should help you to believe. But don't you ever utter something, you know, to despise the word of God. Because the prophet of God said, is that a fact? Well, it, because you said that, you know, you will see it happening, but you will not taste of it. And you can read the story yourself. And we know that that's exactly what happened. You know, the all of the things that God did and made that story to come to pass. Finally, this man, you know, in the stampede, he was trampled underfoot. And he never got a chance. And of course, the word of the Lord came to pass. You know, the word of the Lord came to pass. But this man, he never had a chance. Never got a chance. You know, but he saw it happening. He heard that it was happening. And he wanted to be a part of it. When everybody was rushing to the spoil, you know, of the Syrians and so forth, you know, this man also wanted to. But they stampede. In the stampede, he was trampled underfoot and died. Because he did not believe the word of the Lord. Now, the word of the Lord will come to pass. So you better believe the word of God. You can read that story for yourself in 2 Kings chapter 7. So you believe the word of God. Now, if you don't believe the word of God, here's what the Bible says. It said, what if some did not believe? You know, shall their unbelief make God's word of none effect?
No.
See, it is your loss if you don't believe. Because God will always have himself a witness. God will always have somebody that will believe God. There will always be somebody that will believe God. Now listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 11. Let me read this to you. In Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, you know that this is Hall of Faith, or Annals of Faith, testimony of the great people of faith in the past and so forth, and all that happened. So listen to what God had to say about Noah in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. But God told him that, look, I'm going to destroy the world water. So do this, build this ark and so forth like that. And there had never been any such thing at that time that, you know, rain came down from heaven. Prior to that, it was dew that came out from from the ground to water the surface of the earth. But God said, I will do this thing, and Noah believed God. Nobody else believed it, of course. You know. But listen to what he said. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. The faith of Noah condemned the rest of the world. Hello, somebody? So God will always have somebody that will believe his word. And if there's going to be only one person, then that person is going to be me. Amen? Because I'm going to believe his word. Praise God. You can give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. You know, I will believe the Lord. No matter what. Praise God. Because God has proved himself to me so many times. You know, and I've seen it, you know, in the morning I've seen it, in the evening I've seen it, when I was young I've seen it, now I'm seeing it, you know. And hey, you know, I know that God is able. Praise God. Now, if it delays, just because it delays, I'm not going to now, you know, stop believing. I'm going to keep believing God. Hallelujah, somebody. For instance, I believe that the Lord Jesus is coming back. Amen. And I believe that when he comes back, those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up. You know, and I don't care if Paul thought it was going to happen 2,000 years ago. I don't care about that. You know, I'm going to believe the Lord. And it doesn't matter to me whether it happens today, tomorrow, or whatever. I know it's going to happen in my lifetime. Praise God, somebody. And I believe God, and even if it doesn't happen in my lifetime, I believe there's a better way to leave this earth than be put in the grave. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we are not afraid of death, you know, because, you know, the Bible says, you know, we are already died to Christ. You know, we've already died with Christ. Died and buried with him in baptism. We are not afraid of death. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Well, God has given us something better. And we must believe the word of God. Amen. And everything in our lives is for a purpose. The things that you are facing today, if you can overcome them, they'll prepare you for something tomorrow. But if you stumble at the little things today, you know, how are you going to be able to even overcome greater things? Listen to this in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 12. Listen to this. I mean, every little thing and all the various things that we are going through, they are for a reason. Jeremiah 12 and verse 5. If thou hast run with footmen and they have wearied thee, you know, how are you going to contend with horses then? I mean, if you run against people that are on foot and you are weary, how can you contend against horses? In other words, if the little problems of life weary you out, what are you going to do when greater things, you know, when you are faced with even greater things, you know? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trusted, you know, you have become weary and so forth, when things were peaceful and you were already weary, what are you going to do when there's cataclysmic upheavals and overswelling of Jordan and all of these things happening and so forth like that? And I guarantee you something, people, folks, you know, I'm not a prophet of doom or anything, but, you know, they think they have economic crisis now. They haven't seen anything yet. Wait until that black horse rides. Then you really see some real problems here in the world. You know. But I tell you what. You know, the Bible says, they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Hallelujah, somebody. You know, my life is not tied to man's economy or the president's economic recovery program. It doesn't make a difference to me. I am a citizen of heaven. Amen. And my father's bank account can never go bankrupt. So I don't need all those bailout stuff, you know. That's good for them. They can try anything they want to help the people that need it, you know. But I guarantee you something. You know, for the children of God, you know, the Bible says, therefore shall the ransom of the Lord return unto their place. That's Mount Zion. With joy. And everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. You know, but it may take them some time before they get there. You know, that's where the patience comes in. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And sometimes God will delay some things just to get rid of the unbelieving bunch. Hello?
Amen.
That's right. You know, God, you know, when he brought them out of Egypt, you know, and they saw that all of them were unbelieving and so forth, and they were grumbling and murmuring against the Lord. So the Lord sent them around in circles, delayed the whole thing, you know, until they all perished. Get rid of them. You know, and so forth like that. Well, perhaps, you know, perhaps he's delaying even his coming again now to get rid of all of the unbelief. You know, wait until all those that, you know, can't really stand the test will be weary and fall away. Hello? That's right. You know? But I'm not, by the grace of God, you know, Peter said, look, you have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going? I'm not going anywhere. Praise the name of Jesus. You cannot shake that true elect. You can't get rid of them. It's not going to happen. They are stuck with the Lord. Amen? Praise God. You know, so God, he will sweep, he will sift the floor, sift the wheat, thoroughly purge his floor, get rid of the bunch of unbelief and so forth like that, so that the stuff that can stand will remain. Amen? And that's the reason why sometimes we have some tests. God wants to see what stuff you're made of. You know, if you're tested and you give up, you know, then you're not ready for some real, you know, for the big times. Let's put it that way. You're not ready for the big leagues, you know. If you are still in little league, you can't handle it, and you're not ready for the big leagues. Let's just put it that way. So, you know, the things that we are going through in our lives, they are preparing us, you know, even through the patience of, you know, waiting and seeing and, you know, grinding in there, you know. You just grind in with God in prayer. You know, you don't give up and you don't run up after, you know, it's the same thing when you're praying. We've preached on this before. When you're praying, you don't run up after 2 minutes of prayer. You know, and then you just run up and think you're going to get great things done in life. No, you grind in with God in prayer. You stay with that prayer. Praise God. You make prayer a business with God. You set a time for prayer and you say, I will not turn loose until God gives me a real blessing. Amen. And Jacob, he met the Lord one night. And the Lord appeared to him and so forth. He didn't know it was the Lord, but he knew that it was somebody important. So he grabbed a hold of him and said, look, wrestle with him all night long. The man wanted to leave, said, no way. You know, he'll get a few yards from Jacob, and Jacob would launch out and grab him by the heel again. And just, this man couldn't turn him loose. You know, so finally he had to, you know, do something, get rid of him, you know, and so forth. Touch the hollow of his thigh there. And then, you know, made him weak, you know, and so, but he looked at it and said, my lands, you know, I know that now, you know, I can say that you're a real prince because you have power with God. What is God's testimony about you? We preached on that too. What does God say about you? Are you going to run off just because something is delayed? Or are you going to stay in there and grind in with God? You know, stay in the trenches. Doesn't matter what it is, you know, stay with the Lord. Because the salvation of the Lord is near. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. The salvation of the Lord is near. And though it tarry, you know, sometimes you should wait for it. Because it will not tarry long. Amen. It will not tarry long. So you wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now, the enemy's plan is to get you discouraged. Discouragement is, you might say, Satan's A12, you know, that he uses, and discourage you and so forth like that, you know, and then he'll say, well, you know, why don't you just curse God and forget about it, you know, look, you're already cursed, you know. Don't you ever listen to all those kind of things. The devil try to perch on your shoulder, you know, you say, get thee behind me, Satan, amen? Hallelujah. Don't listen to any of that. You know, don't listen to any of it. You know, just say, you know, if the devil tells you one thing, you tell him another thing. Amen. You tell him, it is written. Hallelujah. I am the head and not the tail. I am blessed and highly favored. And God has called me blessed. See, God has called you blessed. Nobody can call you cursed. Hallelujah. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And that yes is yes. Because his promises are yea and amen. They are not perhaps, they are not maybe, it is yes. Now, it may be today It may be tomorrow. It may be next week, next month, next year, or a few years from now. You know, stay with the word of promise. Be patient, you know. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Be patient as you wait for the Lord. Now, I want you to throw up your hands in prayer and ask God to help you. You know, the things and challenges and whatever you are going through, let the Lord help you. You know, even today, you know, to stay in with God in prayer and not to run off and not to be impatient and so forth before the Lord. You know, stay with God in prayer. Listen to this in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19. In your patience possess ye your soul. You know, that's Jesus himself speaking. In your patience. Patience, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and 12. Patience in tribulation. You know, be patient in tribulation. Even when things are not going your way, wait patiently for the Lord. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let us pray. I want you to lift your hands up and we're going to pray. I know that the challenges of life and various things that we go through sometimes can make us to be impatient, you know. But I want you to know that God, you know, is on the throne. Amen. Amen. And no man has been his director or his counselor that I should direct him at any time, you know. And the Lord is not obligated to reveal everything to us. You know, he will tell us one thing, you know, but he wants you to believe him for the rest of the way. You know, so we must believe God. And let's not try to put God in a box. Let's not try to put a timetable to everything that God promised, which he hasn't given us a timetable for. If he gives us a timetable, then we must believe according to the time that he said. But if he gave a general promise that he did not put a time to, you know, then we need to keep believing until we see the end of our faith. Amen. Until you see the end of your faith, you must keep believing. You cannot give up. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning. We give you the praise and we give you the glory, Lord. We thank you because we know that the things that we are going through, the things that we have been through, and so forth, they are for the purification of the sons of the kingdom. They are to make us, you know, stronger. They are to give us, you know, a character of patience. And Father, we thank you, Lord, you know, even as you spoke to us this morning, that we should let patience have her good work. But I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, teach every one of us that faith and patience work together. As we believe you, Lord, let us patiently wait for the salvation of the Lord. And I know, Lord, that you will not tarry, because the Bible says that God will avenge his elect speedily, and he will not tarry. Lord, we know that you will bring salvation. And the salvation of the Lord is near. And I want to say unto you this morning, behold, our God is coming, and his salvation is within. And he is very close to you in every situation, wherever you are. Lift up your head, because the salvation of the Lord is right there for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's be seated.